far and wide with regards to our influence will be blessed with regards to our program and our Bible study today. Let me extend this invitation before we get started with the lesson for you. If you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, we would love to have you come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. This is your invitation to come and see us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. Now, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, I want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call today to find out their times of services. Also, if you're listening to us on that venue and you would like to chat with us, there are many ways in which you can do that. This is a live daily broadcast of Reflections, Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And so you can chat with us by going to Facebook Studios, YouTube Studios. I'm still hooked on that Facebook Live that we did. But go to YouTube Live, or just go to YouTube, type in the Nesbitt Church of Christ, and you should be able to see a live feed with regards to this program. And if you subscribe, there's a chat window that you can join the conversation with. If you are on the radio aspect of that, then you can go to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on that big Listen Live button in the center of the page. There's a login. Just need your first name. Give me your first name in the login. Come in and chat with us. Comments that you make, the questions that you ask, are either answered online or answered. If it's not fitting with the study of the day, then we will put that into our series of lessons for Open Mic Friday. And so you can join us in those endeavors. Let's see, what else do I have on the agenda today? One further announcement. I do want to continue to remind you of the 5th Annual Men's Development Conference there in College Station at the BCS Church of Christ, June the 2nd through the 6th. And earlier I had spoken that there were going to be a couple of ladies' classes, actually Wednesday through Saturday, every day, I believe at 2 p.m., there's going to be a ladies' class. I think some of these classes are going to be hands-on, and some of these classes will be instructional in nature, and then some will be hands-on. So if you want to get in contact with the BCS Church of Christ, they're in College Station, Texas. They're about to put things up so that people can begin to register for the Men's Development Conference. Oh, all right, let's see. I can't think of anything else that I have on my agenda for today. So that means we're going to get right into our theme song. We'll have a word of prayer and then our theme song. And we certainly want to remember all of those individuals that are affected by this powerful storm that has engrossed a huge part of the southern population, which normally does not see storms like this. And so there are people who have died and people who are suffering because of this. We certainly want to remember them in our prayers. It's good to have Sister Tina and Sister Tina with us today, one from southern Oklahoma and one from southern Texas. Good to have y'all with us today. If you would like, we love to have people chime in, give us a little note, and let us know where you are from. We generally have students from all over the world that join us, and we would love to have your notation in our window. It helps us to be able to understand where people are and who is actually listening to the program. So, all right, let's see if we can go ahead and get started. Let's have a word of prayer and then our song together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time and we realize and recognize that we do not deserve to be within Thy presence, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ and our obedience to the gospel are we allowed within Thy presence. The blood of Thy Son has washed us and made us clean. It has sanctified and set us apart. It has brought us close to Thee. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the vicious nature of that cross and the horribleness of sin that was associated with that. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might always be able to recognize and that we might always be able to understand the power that is invested in that blood and how to get in contact with it. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You receive our petition today for all of those individuals that are suffering due to this powerful storm. We do beg Thy mercy in regards to the natural order of things, that warmth might come our way, that a thaw might loosen things up and might relieve people's suffering. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, that You would so bless us with the seasons, that You would bless us sowing and reaping could take place because of the order that You have put together. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, that all of this, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the temptation, all the tribulation, all of the things that are associated with this earth will one day be brought to an end. And we pray that we might live in such a way as to be mindful of the heavenly road that we walk, and that we might not ever do those things that would keep us out of Thy eternal kingdom. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for the Church of Christ, and we ask Thy richest blessing upon her, that her activity might be a blessing to the community in which she lives, and that as a spiritual entity, that she might be drawing a power toward Thee and toward that which is good. We ask, our Heavenly Father, that You'd forgive us of our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. Walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand and singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, what a blessing it is to be able to sing songs. Songs are that which, by their very nature, are designed to lift up the heart of men. And spiritual songs and hymns and psalms are specifically designed to reflect our attention upon the inner man, upon the soul of a man, upon heaven itself, and the eternal abide of the soul itself. And so we're so grateful that men have taken in hand to be able to write these beautiful songs and to put these words to music in such a way as they have done. Before we get started with our lesson, though, I do want to encourage you to join me in a biblical minute with Brother Mike Bonner. Now, Brother Bonner is not here with us. As I have mentioned, each day, though, he sends me a beautiful little note of encouragement. And so a biblical minute, a word of encouragement, whatever we might refer to it as, today I have chosen this one out of all of the ones, and I have hundreds, if not thousands of them that he has sent over the years, but here is one that I thought very important for us as we consider. It says, let's do our part in training and tempering our minds to be stern but respectful, to be matter of fact but not ugly. We should seek the best results with one another, not attempting to destroy one another. Romans 12, 17 and 18, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I can't think of any better words that should be spoken today, not just in the climate that we are talking about today, but also in regards to the lesson of the hour with regards to sticks and stones and the words that we speak. And are these words, are these good words, or are these bad words? Well, here's a good word that we could sing in regards to hear our prayer, O Lord. Beautiful song this is in regards to the words that we speak and the request of asking God to receive our prayers. And Sister Jensen, we're going to keep y'all in our prayers as well. And that's exactly right, Sister Sander says, adding to the prayer list. We're adding to that as we speak. You know, there's an interesting statement in Jeremiah chapter 8, and Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, that oftentimes would not be considered in this context. That is, when we refer to Jeremiah chapter 6 and 16, we're going to be talking in a different light, but I want you to see it in this light. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask. There's words, right? Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, this is interesting to me, because God has spoken his word, and then he has asked us to seek after, ask for those things that will be beneficial for us. And there are some people in this world that will never seek after that which is there in their best interest. Maybe it's too difficult for them. Maybe it requires them to give up something that they love. Maybe it's they can't see the direction that they're going, much like the 10 spies could not see the promised land because of the giants in the way. And Caleb and Joshua could see the promised land because God was in their view. So sometimes the words that we speak are a matter of perspective. We just have to make sure that our perspective is not horizontal, but that it is vertical in nature. That is, that my vision is not cluttered by everything that surrounds me, but that I can look up to God and I can see from God's perspective where things are. You know, we mentioned in the intro that, you know, God spoke and the universe came into existence. Satan spoke and men fell. Jesus spoke and the storm was calmed. Lazarus rose from the dead. Lepers were cleansed. Salvation was brought down, right? And then we ask what we accomplished. There are some other good and bad words that we could consider in regards to things. Moses spoke and Pharaoh trembled, and he let the people that were enslaved go. Jonah spoke and a city repented. Esther spoke and people were spared. Peter spoke and 3,000, or about 3,000, were baptized. Well, the same is true. Those are good words that were spoken, but what about the bad words? 10 spies, we referenced them. They spoke and millions died. They trembled and they murmured in their tent, and they disheartened the people of God. Herod spoke and John died. Judas spoke and the Lord was betrayed. Words have power that are associated with them. Now, it is true that some words do not carry the same force as others. It is true that influence and situation that you find yourself in will determine the power of those words. But whether or not you're influencing an entire nation or just one person, words have power. And words can change the world. Let me just go through, I think you'll be able to recognize these, but I'll just go through some of these words, and then maybe you can attach the context and the person who said it, right? I think you'll be able to do this pretty easy. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. You recognize that right off the bat with Abraham Lincoln. And with those words, slavery would begin to crumble. How about this one? We shall defend our island whatsoever the cost may be. We shall fight. We shall never surrender. Well, that one might be a little bit harder for us. These are the words of Winston Churchill concerning island of England. And they stood, and they stood, and they stood against the Third Reich. And they stood at times all alone against maybe one of the most powerful forces this world has seen in regards to the Third Reich. But Winston Churchill's words inspired a nation to stand. This one might be a little bit easier for us. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask rather what you can do for your country. Now, you probably remember that, right? John F. Kennedy, JFK, said those words. By the way, there was an explosion of volunteerism after those particular words. Here's another one that you might recognize that I'm sure he says, I have a dream, right? We probably all remember that. And in the awakening of those words of the American conscience toward what is right and the treatment of their fellow man properly and correctly, powerful words, right? How about this one here? One small step for man. One giant step for mankind. That's right. That's Neil Armstrong. And by the way, after that, NASA exploded, right? I don't mean literally an explosion, but funds and goodwill expressed toward NASA, all because that was the context, but you understand the power of the words that motivated a nation to support NASA during this. How about this one? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And with that, Soviet Empire began to crumble and collapse. Now, I have an entire book in my library on great speeches throughout history, and it was written, compiled by a senator several years ago, and it's an excellent book. I oftentimes pull it out. I've got it over at the house, I believe, at this time, but it's an excellent book, and it includes things such as this, but from a military perspective, and they are wonderful. These are words that inspired a nation. I wonder what our words are inspiring a nation to do today. You know, it is said that there are 250,000 words in the English language, and that there are different kinds of words that one might have, and certainly there are. I mean, think about some words are easy and smooth words. They're easy to receive. Words such as, I love you. I appreciate you. Ooh, that's a good job. Or how about this one, Sister Jensen? I'm praying for you. There's nobody that... In fact, there is a gospel preacher who I believe was down in the Miami area. And he did what he called drive-by evangelism. Now, that might not be the best terminology. We think of drive-by shootings all the time. But what about drive-by evangelism? You see a group of people gathered on, say, a street corner or somewhere, and he said he would go up to them and he would ask them if he could pray for them, if there was anything in their life that he could pray for them about. And he said, you know, I think there was only one person that ever turned him down that said, no, I do not want you to pray for me. Most people, he said, were willing to say, I've got a mother in the hospital. I've got whatever the and they would have a prayer right there on the spot. And then, as he would hope to do, he would hope to be able to turn that into the conscience of that person being brought closer to God, and set up a Bible study and teach them about the way of truth. But he said, I only had one person that I could remember that ever turned that down. You think about those. I'm praying for you, or can I pray for you? Here's one. Listen, I love to hear this even if I ain't. Hey, have you lost weight? You know, I like that one. Those are good words, right? Or how about this? You're looking awful nice today. Or how about this one? You know what? You're right. Those are sweet words, right? Those are easy words. Those go down the palate real smoothly, right? But then there are words that really energize us as well, right? They spur us on to great. How about I believe in you, and you can. We got this. Be strong and of good courage. Words such as that. Those are words that are encouraging words for us, and they energize us. Now there are some words that might be a little bit too spicy for a lot of people to handle, right? People we don't like to hear, and we start getting, no, you can't do that, right? We don't like, nobody likes you. Why are you still around? You know, those are words that may be a little bit too spicy. In other words, they're words that begin to hurt. You know, spicy, I love for my lips and my tongue and my I love for a little spice, and but sometimes that spice. I had a hamburger one time that everything from the top of my head to my ears all the way down to my throat, and that was eating that hamburger along with a milkshake. That's how hot it was, and that was a spicy. That burned. That hurt in regards to that, and you know. There are words that begin the hurt process. And then there are words that even go beyond that. It's one thing to say, you know, nobody likes you, and it's another thing to say, I hate you. Those are we would say bad words, right? How about this one? And I know that this one is a tender word for a lot of people, but I want a divorce. In today's society, when you hear, or you're ugly, you're stupid, those are words that are hurtful words. That's one thing as somebody refers to something as stupid, but to refer to somebody as stupid and words such as that, those are hurtful words. They're probably the worst out of the English language, out of those 250,000 words that we could choose if you really wanted to hurt somebody. And I suppose we all have different triggers, right? Things that might trigger that hurt and that negative response different than others. You call me ugly, and I'm just going to say, what's new, you know? But for some people, that would be extremely damaging, right? So there are words that can change the world, and there are words that can change and melt the heart of people. So it is important that we understand these words. Jeremiah wanted these individuals to speak words that would end up benefiting them, and they would not. Now, we've already discussed many contexts of the Bible, from James chapter 3 all the way to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, you remember, let's begin back in verse number 34. We looked at verse 36, but let's go back just for a couple of verses here. Now, Jesus spoke some pretty harsh words. I don't mean to say, and I hope that you understand that there's never a time for harsh words. He says, "O generation of vipers." That's not a sweet word. That's not a nice, kind word in the sense of you're trying to encourage and build up. No, he wants them to recognize who they are. Sometimes you have to identify the enemy. And he's identifying the enemy here, and he is wanting people to know the enemy. Listen, and then he explains it. "How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart a man speaketh." Now, how could other people know that the people he's speaking about were evil? He couldn't look into their heart. I don't have any ESP that I can look into the minds of other people and see their heart. Oh, but do I? Yes, I do have that ESP. It's called the tongue, right? The tongue is something that gives information about the heart of a man. And so Jesus would say, "A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment." Now notice verse number 37. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So words then become very, very important in regards to these things. Well, with that in mind, I want us to pause just for a second, because I want us to begin to look at Psalm 109 just for a little while. Psalm 109, and as you're turning there, I want us to listen to this particular song. It's a beautiful song. And it asks, and the words are words of encouragement. They ask an important question for us. So let's give heed to this song.
Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land. Nothing but love in that land. But joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land. Nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound. I've got a Savior in that land, I've got a Savior in that land, I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. I've got a Savior in that land, I've got a Savior in that land. A Savior in that land where I'm bound.
right. Again, beautiful, edifying words right there. And we're glad that we can take the time, even though you have to listen to me singing the song, we're glad we can take the time for those songs. All right, so Psalm 109. I want you to notice with me just the first two verses as we start this particular study in this psalm. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Now, that's an interesting beginning to this particular psalm. There are many ways in which the wicked might speak against the righteous, but one of the ways in which they do that is to speak lies, which come in the form of half-truths. I think of a Romans chapter 3, and as Paul writes in verse number 8, he says, "And not rather as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm, we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." Paul says that there are some people out there who were slandering the apostles and prophets and brethren of the first century by saying that their motto was, let's do evil that good may come. Well, that's not the message that they brought to the world. That was a slander upon them. You know, it's interesting when you began to read some of the documents surrounding the first, second, and third century in the church. One of the things that was leveled against the church is that they believed in cannibalism. Now, you might say, well, where would they get that from? Well, Jesus himself said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, or except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have eternal life. You cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And so some would take and slanderously report that. You remember in the trial of Jesus that they gathered men together who blasphemed and slandered against Jesus, saying that he said that he could destroy, that he could rebuild the temple in 3 days. So slander is something that has always been around. God was slandered in relationship to Genesis chapter 3, hath God said? That's, by the way, that's not what God said, but it was to cast doubt upon the care of God for his people. And it certainly, those bad words of Satan, those evil and wicked words, certainly. In fact, Jesus would say this is the reason why he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, John 8 and verse number 44. So David is experiencing and writing for us about his experience with individuals who are slandering him. Now, some have suggested, and I think rightfully so, that David takes us through an entire system of trying to get the knife out of his back. He has, you know, backbiting backstabbing, things such as that. That goes on today, doesn't it? We see it all the time. David tells us how to endure some of those things. Or I should say, he tells us how he endured those things, right? So the rumors were flying around. They were lies. They were slander, but they were flying all around. And David goes through 7 stages here, we are told in this psalm. The first stage is the stage of awareness. Notice verse number 2. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. David was aware of the accusations that were being made. This is where you learn what somebody has said about you. So a friend comes to you and says, listen, I need to tell you something. They may be mistaken. They may exaggerate. It may or may not be the truth. But you become aware that somebody does not have your best interest at heart, right? That's the first stage, a stage of awareness that somebody is spreading rumors, they're gossiping, they're backbiting, they're tail-bearing, all that kind of stuff that we've already looked at in God's Word. And so in this particular case, that's the first stage. I become aware of something. Now, once I am aware of something, I want us to look at verses 3 through 5 here, because oftentimes there is a sense of disbelief, right? That is, you don't believe, especially if it's somebody close to you, somebody that you respect, or somebody that generally has respect for you, and they're saying something, you're in shock. It's almost a shock disbelief, right? You don't believe that. I can't believe that person would say that. I can't believe how many people have already heard it, right? It's disbelief as to what is actually occurring at this time. Listen to David in Psalm 109, verses 3 through 5 here. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I gave myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. It's almost like I can't believe it. I have done good unto these individuals. You know, there are times in which, and to use a modern vernacular, it blows my mind that some people, you know, you can do do all kinds of good for them. You help them out. You're invested in their life. You have given them financial assistance, emotional assistance. You've given them all kinds. And then all of a sudden, you find out these things are going on. You say, "Wait a minute! This can't be true. They're rewarding me evil for my good, hatred for my love." It's almost. Parents go through this, do they not? Out of all of the good, the love, the kindness that you show, the discipline and the direction that you show your children, every now and then you'll have a child that says, "I hate you." You don't let them go somewhere. You don't let them participate in something. And all of a sudden, you become their enemy. You're trying to do good unto them, and they have become your enemy. They're going to repay you by, "I ain't talking to you anymore." And, you know, it's not, by the way, it's not just small children. It's not just teenagers. Sometimes it's grown children, right, that those things go through. And so there's a stage of when you become aware of something, and it's almost an immediate reaction, right? It's not as if this is a 2-week stage, a 3-week stage, and you go through, "Oh, I can't believe they said that," right? But it's almost an immediate stage. You become aware of it, and you go through disbelief. That cannot happen. Now, there are sometimes people backbite, and you say, "Well, I knew they would do that," right? You know their disposition. You know their MO. They've done it to other people. They're going to do it to you as well. It doesn't make the hurt any less. But in the awareness, you might skip this stage of disbelief. But in most cases, there is this idea of disbelief, right? And then oftentimes it moves to anger, right? There is an ire that's built up in us at this particular time. Notice here in Psalm 109, let's look at verse 8, first of all. He says, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Verse number 10, let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Verse number 11, and let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Then drop down to verse number 22. He says, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. You see that David feels the pain. He feels the anger, and he responds in such a way as that, right? That is, we've been told. Now we believe that they are spreading the lies. What have I done to deserve this, you see? That's kind of the mentality. Even the good, you can't remember those things that I did good. And anger begins to build up. Now, sometimes it's a mild anger depending upon who it is, right? Depending upon the closeness of the association that you might have in regards to that. It is important that we not allow our anger to get out of hand, right? That we be angry and sin not. That we don't let the sun to go down on our anger. In other words, deal with this anger as quickly as you possibly can. If we're not careful, we can allow anger to control us rather than, and the emotion of anger is a strong motivator. Now, what it does is it motivates a retaliation not bred out of godliness and the best interest of good people. That becomes very, very important. Martin Luther King, for example, would say, in the end, we'll remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Now, there's a lot to that statement, but I want you to notice here that we won't remember the words of our enemies. In other words, it's very important that we move beyond this stage of anger. The fourth stage that David approaches is found in verses 22 and through 24. Not only does he say, I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. In other words, he's going through a stage of grief at this particular time. His people are smearing his good name. Even Solomon, his son, who was taught by his father David, would say that a good name is to be desired, far above rubies and far above gold, Proverbs 22. And verse number 1, it's something, and here you have people trying to besmudge the name and the reputation of David. That is a serious thing. How people view us becomes vitally important in regards to that. So the smearing of someone's name, that will bring anger and it will bring grief. Now those might be mixed. Sometimes you might go through grief before anger. Then you might go through anger before grief. But I want you to notice the fifth thing David went through, that was a counterattack. That was, here is where he's going to, let's just look. By the way, this can be a rather tough stage for a lot of people because if you think about it, if you get in a mud fight with a hog, with a pig, you're going to lose. He loves the mud. And growing up, we had several dogs that did a great job at protecting the home against critters and against other entities. And, you know, it's interesting, every now and then they'd come up against a porcupine. Well, it's one thing to run a porcupine off. They generally do flee, but you don't want to fight with one. You lose every time. Now, even if the dog killed the porcupine, then the dog was left with pines all over his face, and without care, that dog is going to die. And so it's just not worth it. But listen to David here let's go back to verses 6 and 7. He's going to give them a taste of their own medicine here. He says, "Set thou a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." In other words, all of those things that he wanted to occur to me, then give to him. It's a counterattack, you might say, in regards to that. We should pray for our enemy's benefit, but only benefit in the gospel. I don't want my enemies ruling over me. I don't want my enemies to have the better part of influence and valor among the mindsets of people. I don't want that. But I do want them to obey the gospel. I do want them to become New Testament Christians. I do want to bless them as much as I possibly can for the benefit of me being like God and them becoming New Testament Christians. But I want you to notice verse number 30. This is an interesting verse in Psalm 109. Look at verse number 30. It says, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude." It's almost as David has taken his eyes off of the problem that he had. And this sometimes is our problem. The problem is we focus too much upon the problem makers. Now, once the problem makers have been identified and dealt with, then we need to move on. And that's exactly what David is doing here. He's going to praise, as he says, the Lord with my mouth. As they are using their mouth to disseminate slander against me, I'm going to use my mouth to give praise and adoration unto God. And so now the knife has been removed, right? "But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So there is a resurrection again of types. There is that final stage in which I'm going to recognize this is the life that I'm supposed to live. And so it's a huge step that I learn to live with the difficulties that come our way. You know, and that is one of the big things. We have to learn to live with a target on our backs. We have to live with those. I suppose we dealt with this a little bit yesterday, but think about the importance of overcoming, and then we'll close our lesson for today. Think about certain men: Joseph, Nehemiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How about the first century church? How about Jesus himself? Look at them after they came out of the wicked words that were spoken against them. Joseph rose even higher. Nehemiah got the walls built in 52 days that were not being accomplished in 92 years. Daniel had a night with the lion's den, but he gained fame. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow, went into the fiery furnace. The first century church had all kinds of rumors spreading around, and yet they still prevailed. We can, and I think this is the best of the best here, we can overcome all that the world throws at us, all the difficulties that are brought our way we can survive. A burnt field comes back even better, and so can you, and so can we. Well, God bless, and have a beautiful day. Yeah.